Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moab Lobaki. No, don't pay any attention to that. And today is Wednesday, May the 28th of 2025. Hey, how are you? How are you doing? I'm doing well, thank you. Actually, I'm doing splendiferously, thank you. And feeling pretty darn tootin'. No, well, that... Well, a little of that, too. You know, getting up there. But feeling pretty good. So I hope you're feeling well as well. The world is just nuts. And since I'm nuts, too, well, that makes all of us kind of nuts. So I hope everything is grand. And, yeah, just one of those incredible things going on in the world. What is one to say? I mean, really, what can we say about what's going on in the world? It is just kind of fun. Yes, I know. Mo, what could be fun about what's going on out there? And the answer is, if you don't laugh, you're going to kind of do something else, right? Either cry or scream or, freak out, hallucinate, and dream. Something. But I prefer to have a chuckle and even a cackle or two, because it's fascinating to watch just this incredible dysfunction. We'll see how it turns out, okay? We'll see how it turns out. And I'm planning on watching it all from beginning to delightful change of something, because things have changed. As the Buddha said, this too shall pass. And indeed, this too shall pass. This I know. So, some of you may like it. You may be going, this is exactly what needs to be. Well, obviously, things had to change because they're changing. So, stop it, Mo. Stop now. Mo, you will stop immediately. Yes, indeed. I'm looking for something here. Hang on just a second. Hang on. Where is it? Yes, this is the Mo Stop It Now sound gadget. That's it. Stop it now, Mo. Stop it now. That usually does it pretty well. It gets me on another track. So, what is that thing, you say? Well, if I explained it to you, it would be hard to explain, but... It was once in a dog toy. And when the dog toy was ripped to shreds, I said, whatever makes that sound, I want it. And so I took it, by golly. Some things are just too wonderful not to have nearby. Here's another thing. And we must have. Everyone should have one of these in their pocket at all times. What is that, you say? What is that wonderful thing? That is a nose flute. You should have one of those at all times. Why? Why not? Here's another thing. A kazoo. Everyone should have a kazoo at all times. Why? Why? Don't question me. That's right. And you should have another nose flute. Everyone should have at least two nose flutes. Why? Because I have them. That's why. That's right. Everyone should have something to make noise. Everyone should have an abacus nearby. Why? Because I have them. That's why. Did that sound like a rattlesnake? Maybe a little bit, huh? I have more noise-making things here, but I'll stop. Because it's a good idea to stop now. Oh, my God. You see, that's the way the world is. I have an hourglass here, but it doesn't make any noise. I'd turn it over, but it would be completely lost on everybody. What's wrong with me? Probably way too much to talk about. That's just fine. C'est la vie. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre, c'est la pomme de terre. That's life, that's war, that's a potato. That's good. All right, so here we are today on another Wednesday, the last Wednesday in May. This is, and here we are. And today, I'd like to talk about something that I think is very important. I was speaking to someone today, this morning, as a matter of fact, someone whom I do speak to fairly regularly, and this person is someone I happen to like very much. I've known this person for over 20 years, probably 20-some, and I've gotten to know this person rather well, and I respect this person a great deal, and this person has had one heck of a tough year. I'll just put that mildly. Tough years, as far as tough years go, holy mackerel. Mackerel's good. Cod is good, too. Yes, cod is good, too. You know, especially when you talk about fishing and you know, that sort of thing. Not that I fish. I'm not a fisherman. Just not me. Anyway, so this person has had a very difficult year. And the person was despondent, to say the very least, and I would say with rather good reason. Good reason to feel despondent. And somewhere along the line, what was passed along to me was this, the basic sense of not feeling, this person felt not feeling, that was not feeling as if life was worth living. Well, I don't know if I should put it that way, but it certainly seemed like the feeling was that life was not really worth living anymore, that a person has grown children, and that the children, you know, didn't need this person anymore, and that there really wasn't much to. And I was like, no, don't talk like that. I'd like to talk about life today, and about that syndrome of people saying, you know, my life has kind of been lived, and because my buddy Bill, who passed in February, had kind of a similar thought. That his life had kind of been lived, and I tried to dissuade him of this. Boy, did I try to say, you know, man, your life is, you're vibrant, buddy. I mean, you've got a job, you're working with people who love you, and you're still, you know, doing this and that, but Bill kind of worshipped youth, and he really did. And he was a youthful guy in the mind, and it just kind of, I think it took something away from him to grow old. And he was only old, I mean, because I'm old in body, but I'm definitely not mature. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But I don't think people should give up. Life is an amazing thing. This thing that we do, that we live, we are alive. Man, kicking and screaming, man. I'm kicking and screaming. I will not go easily, nor will I go willingly. And I just feel that life is too precious. I write every day. I laugh every day. I'm a goof. I'm a goof every day. I think a lot. I do do things, you know, I'm not all that active. I don't get out and do chin-ups or anything off of a tree, but I love trees, and I've actually hugged trees. If you've never hugged a tree, I suggest it. Trees are talkers, you know. They hug you back in a way that you can't imagine. You know, we just got to do what you got to do. And the world is much more powerful than we are. The world is a lovely place to be. And eventually, we are going to, you know, wave adios, aloha, prosit, you know. We're going to say ma salama. We're going to, you know, ta-ta, toodles. It's going to happen, but we need not rush to judgment here. We need not borrow trouble. We need not say goodbye and do that prematurely and thus hasten. I just think that people need to embrace. And we had a long talk, this person and I, and by the time it was over, I think there was a definite shift of attitude. And I just think that life is much too precious and much too wonderful not to really grab it. Grab life by the ears, if you will, force it to listen to you, and give it a big full kiss on the lips, which is exactly what it wants to do to us. Life is spectacular. Life is absolutely amazing. Being here is not always easy. As a matter of fact, being here can be a pretty tough proposition, and a preposition and a phrase, if you'd like. But it can be a really, really tough thing to do. No one ever promised an easy life, and that's good because it isn't easy. There's nothing simple about being one of us, a member of the living. Not at all. There's nothing simple about being a member of our society, which is indeed weird. Our society is weird. It demands things of us. It demands a heck of a lot of us, as a matter of fact. We have to conform to a certain amount, and those of us in metaphysics who like metaphysics, even if we are simply observers of the metaphysical realm, we, you know, we can be poo-pooed and ha-ha'd at, and that's never fun. That's never fun. If you know, someone says to you, so what's your sign? And you immediately, your ears perk up a little and you think, oh, are you? And the minute you begin to betray the fact that you are deeply involved in astrology, it can go one of two ways. It can either go further where they say, oh, do you run charts or do you know more about this? And that can either lead you into a good place or into a bit of a, you know, sticky place. Or they can immediately kind of say, well, what an idiot, you know, which is fascinating to me, because the whole concept of religion is based upon, well, stories that are based on miracles. When you think about it, if you can show me many religions that aren't based upon some sort of miraculous premise, well, I'd like to hear it. Most religions are based upon some sort of belief, some sort of faith. And so for other people to look at us and har, har, har their way through it and say, well, this guy's a fool for believing this or this person, like, you know, tarot cards, let's say, which has been my main tool of choice over the past decades, many decades of my life, or the I Ching, which I also love, or palmistry, or astrology, or whatever it may be. You know, we have faith that these things work, and really they're based upon our intuition intermeshing. Wait, just make it up, Mo. Oh, thank you. I think I shall. Meshing with whatever is going on in the universe that allows these things to work in the first place. I don't question it. It's unquestionable because it's unfathomable to me. I don't try to make sense out of it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I just don't try. So other people need to define themselves by certain things. They're just willing to believe in certain miracles, right? And they do. And I don't poo-poo them or ha-ha them because they believe in, let's say, the Immaculate Conception or the Virgin Birth or whatever it may be. Those things are fine. That's fine. You know, the Immaculate Conception and the Virgin Birth are two separate things, just to let you know. Yes, well, to clarify, the Immaculate Conception is the belief that Mary was born immaculately, that she did not have the original sin, that everyone had original sin from the fall of Adam and Eve, except for Mary, who was born immaculately. She was conceived immaculately, because she then was going to bear Jesus. So she could not have original sin. That's the Immaculate Conception, not the fact that she had a virgin birth. Two separate things. So there is this, I mean, anyway, blah, 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 I know. But these miracles then become part of a sacrosanct sort of way of thinking that is okay. That's okay. And for some reason, over the millennia, a couple of them at least, it then became wrong to do these things that we do as part of our stock and trade, like reading cards. It's funny. I've been thinking about publishing up some more decks that I have in my head, and I thought, God, I just so... For what reason? You know, for what reason? Maybe I will sometime. But with... You think, what am I doing this for? Really, what am I doing? There's so many decks out there. Maybe to leave something behind. And then I'm thinking, for what? You know, for what? But vanity a little bit. Some of that is vanity. But the bottom line is that with all that dogma going on, all that dogma, there's still all that judgment. And that's the problem with our society. And we have a tendency then to judge ourselves in the midst of all that society. That's what I think. And so when it comes right down to it, we're always judging ourselves with that in mind. Maybe you don't agree, but we hold ourselves up as... being either good or bad, or being useful or unuseful, or useless. Unuseful is good, too. No, it isn't. But I think that's the wrong way to think. I believe that we do not need to think that way. I think that what we need to do is to consider ourselves as being important in our lives for us. Sounds a little selfish. But at some point in our lives, we need to be a little selfish. We need to say, I'm going to live my life for me. Right? I'm going to live my life for myself. And in doing so, because you can't really help anybody else unless you can help yourself. I believe that. You can't love yourself fully unless you are willing to really proclaim that you are you. And that you are worth loving. And you certainly can't help anybody else or love anybody else unless you love yourself. I truly believe that. And that's kind of a stretch to say that you are willing to love yourself fully. Because a lot of people never do. A lot of people are filled with self-loathing because of the way they were raised or because of the mirrors they hold up to themselves. And that's a hard thing. I think it's important that we all live for ourselves. Now, this person with the grown children said, my children don't need me anymore. And it hurts. And I said, yeah, I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to no longer have children who call you all the time or need you all the time. They make their own decisions. And at one point, I finally said, wow, you know, it's okay. Not only is it okay, but it's fine because they're making their own decisions. They're doing their own thing. And you know what? They are fine. They're doing just fine. Maybe they're making mistakes along the way. They're doing things I wouldn't do. But I get to focus on my life, and my life needs to be fine too. So we need to focus on our lives and on making our lives as best as they can be. Asbestos. Well, fireproof as well, without the toxicity. I mean, it's really important for us to decide what we want to do for ourselves. And that means not completely without society, because society has its place. You don't want to be antisocial. You don't want to be, a sociopath. Because you don't want to become president or something. But to certainly be strong within yourself and to realize that you are living the best life you can lead. And sometimes that means making decisions that are just for you, regardless of everybody else. In spite of everybody else, and saying, I am going to do what I'm going to do. I've had to do that myself. I've had to say, you know what? And I've made lots of mistakes, but please don't think I know exactly what I'm talking about, because I don't, except through mistakes that I've made. And I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. Living life is about making mistakes and hopefully learning from those mistakes, right? That's where these tools come in, these tools that we have, tarot cards, astrology, the I Ching. For me, the I Ching is one of the best of the tools. It really is a phenomenal thing to have, the I Ching, because you can ask it a question and it answers you. And it takes contemplation and learning how to understand the I Ching. That's kind of a major one. I'm thinking of doing a series of YouTube things on the I Ching, interacting with the I Ching. I did a thing on my YouTube channel about that, on how to ask the I Ching or how to get an I Ching, how to cast the coins and how to get the hexagram from it. And it's there, and it's had a lot of views, and people do seem to like it. I would hardly suggest it. Just go to YouTube and my channel. Just go Mo Abdolbaki. That's M-O, no E, and then Abdolbaki, A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I. And you'll see two of them there. One is on a quick method with 6 coins, and the other one is on the 3 coin toss, how to get a hexagram from the 3 coin toss method. But I'm thinking of doing one about how to actually just do a whole reading and interact with the I Ching, because it's a powerful, powerful, powerful tool that anyone can use and really talks to you, really, really does talk to you. But what happens when you become despondent, when you can say, I don't even know anymore what I want to do? Well, you just have to remember one thing. Man, this is your life. This is your life. It's, frankly, it's yours. And you have to answer some questions. Do I want to give it up to somebody else? Do I want to flake out on myself? Maybe I'm not an expert to talk about this, but I know what I am and who I am. And I think it's important to fight for yourself. I've had to really fight for myself in my life. Life isn't easy. It's not easy for anybody. I've known millionaires, and I've known a couple of, well, one billionaire. Not a couple, one close to it, but one billionaire. And they have problems the way, they're not, problems are different than ours, I'll say that, but they still have problems. But we have to keep in mind that we have to be willing to stay on it. And I don't mean talking about suicide or anything else, although that is something that is, you know, mental health is important. But I think it's also worth saying that I believe we're here for a reason. That every day of the future is a day of possibilities where something can and might happen, and that we have to be aware of that, and that there is something that might be right around the corner. You know, like that old song, love is right around the corner with a twinkle in his eye. So let's have another cup of coffee and let's have another piece of pie. And I've always loved those lyrics because there's something so hopeful about that idea. It's an opportunity. I have said it before. I am a hopeless optimist. Maybe not hopeless. That's the wrong way to say it. I'm a pie-eyed optimist. I am a complete and total optimist. I always have this thought that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, there is always something that can go right. There is always another chapter around the corner. Now, certainly there are finalities in life. There are always bits of final things. That's the way it goes. But there is always another chapter that can come your way. And I completely and totally believe that. I think that's basically what optimism is. Always looking at what can happen next. What can be there? What can come your way? What can be positive next? And that little bit of fluff, if you will, really is important to me. Do I have a long-term image? Well, at this point in my life, it would seem a little bit weird because I'm getting on there in my age. But I think every day is that. I love every day. Literally love it to pieces. And it is not about, oh, the grandiose vision of life. It's about the little things, sitting, reading, watching TV, being with my dog, you know, throwing the ball for her, having her trying to keep me from getting it away from her, you know, those types of things. pardon me. Even allergies. Yeah, even that's okay with me because allergies are about my immune system saying, Mo, we're, you know, trying to keep foreign objects out of you. And we're celebrating that fact. There's so many things that are kind of amazing to me. Yes, I lost a bit of my hearing, a fair amount of my hearing, especially in my right ear. But I live in an age of hearing aids that are pretty phenomenal. You know, I lived long enough to, I mean, things are, it's astounding to me what can happen. What can happen? On my birthday, my nephew called, my oldest nephew. He used to call my radio show, out of Mo's mind, when it was first on, he'd call up, he'd go, hey, Uncle Mo, this is Peyton. His name's Peyton. And he's as cute as can be. He'd say, so how did they build those pyramids, you know, and because his dad is my brother. And I'd say, well, Peyton, no one really knows for sure, but I think it was sweat and blood and, you know, just hard work because they have found these, you know, graves of workers and they have stress fractures in their backs and they know it took about 22 years to build the Khufus. And we would talk on the air and he's just so bright and so incredible. And now Peyton is pre-med, and he wants to go to school out here close to me, and I hope he gets accepted. It would be nice to have him nearby, but we talked for a while, and I haven't talked to him in a long time, and he was so excited about my cards. You know, he wants like a deck of my cards, and it was just such a thing to talk to him. It just really was uplifting, and you think to yourself, that happened today. That incredible thing happened today that I did not expect. And he just, You know, he was just excited for me. Another thing that happened recently, yesterday, I met a kid years and years ago at an after prom party that I was working when I was Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro, which was a wonderful time in my life because when I was 5 years old, I got my first yo-yo, I decided I wanted to learn all the tricks and I wanted to be a yo-yo man because I watch them on TV and they just amazed me. And so eventually I did that. I mean, I was able to do the things I really wanted to do. Now, how rare is that, that you get to actually fulfill your dreams? All you have to do is want it and work for it, you know? So here he is. I met this kid at an after prom party, and he was with about four other boys, and I was there, and most of the kids were like, oh God, nerd alert. Here comes this weird guy with this weird beanie cap that has a propeller on it, and these loud clothes, hippie pants actually, and loud clothes and suspenders, and I was doing yo-yo tricks, and here's this kid named John. And John comes over, and he's wearing a Cat in the Hat, and it was very cool, and he's kind of a squirrely kid with his friends, and they saved me, because otherwise I'd been falling asleep all the time. This was late, and I was teaching them yo-yo tricks. You know, did yo-yo tricks all night, and met this kid, John. John today is one of the foremost yo-yo guys in the world. He's known all around the world and revered as one of the best yo-yo guys in the world. And yesterday, he turned 50 years old. I was like, mind was blown. Here he was on Facebook saying, I turned 50 today. And I love him. You know, he's like my yo-yo son, if you will, you know. And I thought, that happened. That's an incredible gift. And I had no idea yesterday was his birthday before Facebook told me. But I've watched him go from this 16-year-old all the way through, you know, starting performing, busking on streets, to being this absolutely, and he'll be in the, yes, there's a Yo-Yo Hall of Fame. He'll be in there one of these days soon, I'm guessing. And if he's not already there. And here is this thing. And I planted this little seed. He has said in interviews that I am his major influence. Imagine that. Me, this little kind of, you know, barely talented guy who enthused him in that way. And you realize we all make a difference. We just don't know how. We just don't know how influential we are. We have to keep at it. We have to be kind. We have to be enthusiastic about everything we do because we don't know how we influence people, but that's who we are. You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I've never had a lot of money, but you know what? I've had a great life, and I don't anticipate I'm ever going to have a lot of money, but I'm fine. I have what I need. Okay. So the other day, my wife had to get some greeting cards for her sister whose birthday is coming up. We go into this Hallmark store and simple pleasures. I'm talking simple-minded pleasures, right? I have a simple mind. So there at the counter right in front of me is a container filled with Necco wafers. Necco wafers, which I thought, well, they did. They went out of business about, I think, 10 years ago. And there are these Necco wafers. And I immediately grabbed a pack, put it on the counter, said, I will be getting these. Here is this half-eaten package of Necco wafers right here. I mean, for me, that was a huge, big deal. I know it's silly beyond comprehension, but I am one of the people on the planet. I like the Three Stooges, and I like Necco wafers. They say there are only two types of people, those who like the Stooges, those who don't, right? I also like the Marx Brothers, so you can be, that's okay. But I have these things. I love them. And here they were again. See, it's a little things. You say, but that to me, I keep thinking that's what life is about. It's these little things that happen, these little surprises every single day. And yes, there are things that do happen that aren't great. We have a beautiful tree in our front yard. It's dying. It's been bored in by insects, and it also got injured when we had to have our sewer redone. That was a horrible situation, and money we didn't have, and, you know, that's what it's like. So life is this up-and-down mixture of all sorts of things, but the joy of it, the simple joy of it. And soon enough here, we've had to cancel for 2 weeks in a row because there's been sickness in the family. I'm going to get together with my kids and their kids for lunch for my birthday, which passed a couple of weeks ago. And we're gonna sit together, and I'll sit there and stare at everyone and not be able to hear them very well. But that is a joy to me that I can't even describe, although many of you know that joy. I sit around and I think, how is this possible? How is this possible that I have this? My granddaughter sent me a text, Bing, you know, hey, Papa, can I bring you some bread? Can I bring you some bread? Can I bring you some bread? Yes, you can bring me bread. First of all, I'm a bread junkie. I love bread. You know, that's my problem. I'm patting my belly here. I love bread. I love all sorts of bread. But to eat a loaf of cheddar jalapeno bread, sourdough, by the way, that my granddaughter made for me, my pediatric oncologist granddaughter, oh my God. You know, I'm not oncologist nurse. Let me finish that. She's a nurse. But she's a wonderful person, and she's as sweet as can be. This loaf of bread that was absolutely delicious and amazing and made with love. Now that's life. And so if people fool you into thinking that life is about owning things, I have things. Gosh, I have tons of things here. You know, I have this thing that makes this noise. That's a thing, you know. And really the truth is it reminds me of the dog that we had the thing for, you know. She was a beautiful dog, and she was a lovely dog, and I miss her. I miss all the dogs we used to have. You may remember I had a dog, Trudy. We had a portrait of her. It's in my office here, and I'm looking at it right now. And that's part of life, too, is the remembrance of the things that you had in your life. And it doesn't have to be maudlin. It's just about, you know, I have a bobblehead right here on a shelf that I'm looking at that was in my dad's office from as long ago as I can remember. And I don't know what the story is behind it, but it's in my office now. And it's as old as I am, almost, because I can remember it from as long ago as I can remember. So it's probably almost, you know, it's probably at least close to 70 years old. And there it is right there. And I'm looking at him. That's amazing. And when you look at it, what goes is there's just this little feeling of warmth. There are little miracles that happen in your life. I have a vase that looks like Felix the Cat. I have a podcast dedicated to that. I have a podcast called Out of Mo's Mind. You can find it on Apple. You can find it on Google. On all the podcast servers, you can find it. It's not easy to find on Spotify, but if you put in Mo Abdelbaki, Out of Mo's Mind, it'll pop up. But it tells this amazing story about this Felix the Cat vase that I own and how it came to be. Things are meant to be in life. Things happen in life that are meant to happen. And you just go, how I came to own this is a story that is so unbelievable. And yet it's true. It's true. It happened. And it's just unbelievable to me still to this day when I think about it. The sad part is the person that I had this thing that, you know, how I got this vase was a dear friend of mine. And now, you know, doesn't seem to want to be friends anymore. That's Facebook. You never know really what's going on. There's a part of me that wonders if this person is still alive, because on Facebook, you can't tell. People, you know, they die and you can't tell. I have a friend who I know is dead and still has a Facebook page. You know, and it's like, wow, that's weird. Still has a Facebook page. And it looks like the person should be still alive, but the person is no longer alive. And you think, uh-oh, well, you don't know anymore, you know. So That's why I told my daughter, if I'm gone, you make sure and put on that site. You know, the old man is, he has kicked the proverbial bucket, you know. I just want people to know what's going on. It's important to me. Why? Because I try not to ignore people, you know, that's important. But so why would you want to say, oh, I'm tired of this, I can't, you know, that to me is missing the point of it. This is, yeah, sometimes it's a circus, you know, but I love, by the way, that circuses have kind of done away with the animals. People are more entertaining than animals. Animals are wonderful. I love animals. And I don't think they should be imprisoned. A lot of thoughts there. A lot of thoughts. My dad was a vet. So I grew up around a vet school, in a vet hospital. And that's why I didn't become a vet, you know. I thought about it, but I just saw things. I thought, nah, I can't. No, that's too much for me. But we are compassionate. We love. We care about life, and we care about people. And I think that our lives can be exemplary to others, you know, and that's why we do what we do. We are, some of us are very artistic. I'm artistic, I have to say. I like to draw, and I like to make sounds that resemble music. yeah, I like to make sounds that resemble music. I love that. To me, it's very important. I mean, I used to play the clarinet. I mean, I played the clarinet for what, 6-7 years, something like that. And then I just kind of went, oh, that's it. Played the ukulele for a long time. Every now and then I pull it out and strum away and play a lot of Grateful Dead songs on the uke, which is annoying to almost everyone who lives. I like it, though. I play rim-blown flutes, and I'm finally getting that down. I think if you do anything long enough... you annoy enough people, but it's just wonderful putting your human ingenuity, and I say it that way because animals have ingenuity as well. I watch our dog, and boy, hang on. Oh, sorry, I tried to. I apologize. I was trying to get to my kill sound button on my microphone, but I missed. So I completely missed there, completely. And you heard that. I apologize. You know, when a sneeze comes along, it's allergy season. And like I said, I welcome it. While I'm doing that, I might as well have a drink of tea here. I was completely out of tea. Completely out. Oh, woe is me. I bellyache too much. And then I found all this tea. I found all these packets of tea that I'd forgotten I had. Some Earl Grey, and I was like, oh, huzzah, huzzah. You see, that's life. Life is filled with little surprises. Sometimes the surprises are terrible, but sometimes they're absolutely wonderful. You know? I've got a shirt I'm going to tie-dye. I'm going to try a spiral. I'll let you know how it goes once I do it. I'm not quite ready yet. Life is, and you know, we bought a wheelchair for my wife because I'm going to push her. It's not like the big wheelchair with the big wheels that she can push. It's like something that if we want to go to a big store, you know, and she wants to look at things, I can push her through because she can't really do big, long things anymore. So that's a whole new phase of my life. I mean, I've really tried getting my head wrapped around that. That's a whole new phase of my life where I'll be pushing. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of heavy. But I'm okay with it. You know, you kind of sign up for things. And it's like, okay, I get it. But that's okay, too. And you think, all right, I just have to, you know. And so it's kind of an amazing thing, this life. And it's about responsibility as well. And It's fine. It's fine. You know, you just have to look at life as this whole, this sense of wonder. This remarkable journey that never ceases to amaze me. And think, okay. Yeah, I've got to tell you. I blew my back out in November doing yard work. And it usually lasts about, if it does blow out, and it always does in November, because I do too much, because I'm, you know, one of those guys. One of those guys. And usually by about the third week in December or so, I'm beginning to get better. But this time it lasted all the way until the end of January. And so I was using a cane. And I thought, you know, this cane, this is not a bad thing. Maybe because I noticed people were a little more deferential. I found it helped my balance a little bit because I've had vertigo problems. And I thought, I kind of like this cane thing. You know, maybe I should recognize the fact that I'm an old man. I was 70 at the time. I thought, maybe I like this old man thing. Maybe I like this. And then Bill died. Boom. I thought, what the heck is this? I mean, what the heck is this? And I put the cane away. And I said, no more. Not until I absolutely need this thing. Not until I can't walk without it. Or I'm just, you know, need an affectation and do a British accent or something. Not until I need to grasp on to what I have. I need to renew my faith in myself, renew my faith in my vim and my vigor. And it changed me. It changed me. Sometimes we need to look at the other side of the coin and remind ourselves of what we have. And remind ourselves of who we are. Wow. And it shocked me. It shocked me, and I called my doctor, and I said, I want to live as long as I can. He made a few suggestions. And I went, oh, thanks. You know? But he, in a professional way, he wants the best for me. And I want what's best for me. So the thought of pushing my wife around doesn't bother me because I know it's good for me. It's bad for her. It makes me sad. But what can I say? It's also good for her because it'll take a lot of strain off those incredibly bad knees of hers and her spine and arthritis and so on. And you know, but it's also what I do for a friend. Right? That's life. We take life as it comes. And sometimes we have to take it and just, last year was hard. The last 12 months have been very difficult. I will say that right outright. The last 12 months have been a difficult year. Very difficult. I won't rehash it, but it has been a difficult year. Oh my God, I just thinking about it. A lot of loss, a lot of change that I certainly wouldn't have imagined. But I still feel great about life. And about the future, and my future, and our future. I just feel like this is what it's about. It is going to be filled with weirdness. Weirdness. You know, a lot of weirdness. In no small way, unfortunately, I think that my friend Bill, he probably slid a little bit because of the election. And I said, don't worry, man. It's, you know, don't worry. Stop worrying. Let that worry go. Would you please? But he kept worrying. I'll never forget, he called me up and he said, did you find out that did you get information on the change in your cola? And I said, cola? I like, you know, Diet Coke is fine, or, you know. And he just said, you're kidding, right? He meant cost of living allowance. And I was like, no, I don't know of these things, because that's not my world. That was his world. He had read the Wall Street Journal every day since he was a junior in high school, or something like that. And so we can't let the world do that to us. It's not fair. And it's not relevant. We can worry. I watch the news and I watch pundits. But I don't let it tear me down. Gives me a lot of ideas for cartoons. Gives me a lot of ideas for limericks, most of them dirty. Yeah, I laugh. You have to laugh. But you have to realize that we are here, like I said, for a reason. And that every day it's possible something might happen that will just make you feel wonderful, like a pack of Nephos. Nephos. Or if you're in government, Nepos. Yeah, a little nepotism goes a long way. There are so many positives every day. And something just jumps up and, you know, like I'm talking to a cousin in Egypt every day. And he's young enough to be my son, but he's a lot like me in many ways. Not really, in some ways. He's different than they are. Let me put it that way. Just like I was different growing up here. And so I'm able to talk to him. And I enjoy talking to him. It's all text. He's very smart. He's very hurt. He's very kind. See, this is who we are. We communicate. We need to embrace who we are and realize we are here for a reason. And sometimes it's to talk to someone, maybe talk them in off the proverbial ledge. Not that if I thought someone were serious, and maybe if I even kind of thought someone was serious, I would call a professional for them, of course. But sometimes it's just about reminding someone of how special this ride is. Because, man, this is the e-ticket. Some of you know what that means. Maybe a lot of you don't. Disneyland, 1950s, 60s, not 70s, but 60s. I don't think it was 70s, just 60s. You bought a book, and it had A, B, C, D, and E tickets, and the E tickets were the best. Pirates of the Caribbean, Small World, you know. I liked the Tiki Room, the Enchanted Tiki Room, which got me ballyhooed. Ooh, people thought I was such a nerd. I am a nerd. I'm a complete nerd. I have a lightsaber. A Star Wars lightsaber. It's sitting over here in the corner. Yeah. It goes voop, voop, voop. Does everything. It's blue. It's Obi-Wan's. That's how I feel about myself. Life is pretty beautiful. I don't think it takes religion to make you know that. I like living my life without the promise of an afterlife, without the promise of heaven, without the threat of hell. I like living my life for what it is. This beautiful journey, lived with others. I don't see the need to gum it up with all the other stuff. This is an incredible, incredible journey. Let's live it that way. Every day, something happens. Some of it may not be great, but almost every day, something delights me. Makes me feel fantastic. I hope it happens to you, too. I hope it happens to you, too. And if it happens to you and you feel that way, share it. I did today, and it made a difference in someone's life. It changed the way they felt about their journey. You can't help everyone. I found that out. To someone who was very near and dear to me. God knows I tried. He didn't kill himself. Let me make that clear. He died of natural causes. But he could have been happier. He could have been. I tried. God, we laughed. Oof. We laughed. We had an awfully good time. For a long, long time. 55 years of friendship. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. And you know what? It's all good. It's how it's supposed to be. All right. I've talked too much for today. A minute over or something like that. But here's the point. The point is, it's all about love. And that's the key. And I love you. And I really mean that. And I think you know that. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Live it. Live it. Love it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.